thank you this morning for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of God. We pray that we might learn some helpful, practical, important things today that we can take and use every day in our lives that will bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Now here are the four laws that we're talking about, and we'll talk mostly about this one this morning. Now we've talked about this one, the law of liberty, which is toward ourselves. We talked about that in the 6th chapter, the 12th verse. Also in the 8th chapter, the 9th verse, it is stated there. Now, in the very beginning of the 8th chapter, he says, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. We are at liberty to do anything that we want to do that the Bible does not tell us not to do. We mentioned some of the things a moment ago that we are not to do. Then if the Bible says to do things, we are at liberty to do those things. Now, that's toward ourselves. And so often, this is the only law that any of us exercise, so often. But there are three other laws that are very, very important. Notice in verse 7, however, there is not in every man this knowledge. What? That an idol is nothing. There in Corinth, they had the heathen temples, and they had the idols, and most everybody went there and they worshiped there. Well, that idol is nothing, but everybody doesn't have that knowledge. Notice, for some with conscience of the idol unto this very hour, or to this hour, eateth it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. In other words, here's a piece of meat that's been offered to that idol, and now someone is over here eating on that piece of meat. Well, sitting that piece of meat there on the altar didn't hurt it. Didn't stay there but a few minutes. The flies didn't get on it. It's still fresh. They cut it up, and they take it over here in the restaurant, and they cook it. And they cooked it right away, and it's real good. But here's a person who thinks that it was offered to an idol, and that makes it something spooky or religious. And so they won't eat it. And if they are weak and they don't understand that, then they better not eat. Food does not commend us to God. What we eat or what we don't eat doesn't commend us to God. But, notice 9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. If you go ahead and eat that piece of meat in front of a person who is weak and think that that has been polluted by that idol, then you are causing that person to stumble. For if any man see thee who hath knowledge, in other words, you've got knowledge, and you know it didn't hurt that piece of meat one bit, and it's still just as good as it was when they slew that animal, or it'd be just as good if they'd taken it out there in the pasture and they'd killed the animal, and they had bled it right, and then they had cut it up and just over the open fire there ate that meat. It was just the same. It's no difference. Or if you had bought it down at the shambles or the local meat market, and it hadn't gotten the flies on it yet. Well, he says, if any man see thee who hath knowledge, sit at the table, you've got the knowledge, in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things that are offered to idols? For through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But, notice verse 12, and this is what we need to really get into our thinking. But when ye sin so against thy brother, and I want you to underline that little phrase, ye sin so. If you eat that meat and it's going to cause your brother to stumble, what are you doing? S-I-N. That's just like getting drunk. Then it becomes just like committing adultery. Then it becomes just like murder. Why? It is sin. It's not a matter of right and wrong anymore. It may be perfectly all right, but now it has entered into the area of sin. Why? Because you're causing a weak brother to stumble. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound bear we conscience, ye what? S-I-N. Ye sin against Christ. So a right thing can become wrong. It's perfectly all right to do it. But if you're going to cause somebody to stumble, then it becomes wrong. It becomes sin. And you're sinning not against yourself. You're sinning against who? Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says. And I want you to notice, and if you want to write in that margin of your Bible, put out here motive. Motive. This is the important thing, is our motive. Why we do what we do. It's not a matter of rights. It's a matter of what? Blessing. Therefore, if, and it's true, food maketh my brother to offend, I will eat no meat. I will completely quit eating meat altogether. It doesn't matter what it is. And by the way, these people who go to the Bible for to be vegetarians, in Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14, it tells you very definitely there are animals there that you can eat. Now, there are animals you can't eat. That is, if you want to be healthy and you want to live a long, prosperous life on the earth, you want to die with some kind of disease, well, go ahead and eat those things. You can eat buzzard if you want to. It's all right. Whatever you want. Now, he tells you the things that are good for you and the things that are bad for you. Now, the vegetarians, they'll tell you that none of them are good things. Well, God ought to know better than the vegetarians, the way I look at it. But Paul says, if eating meat is going to cause my brother to offend, I'll not eat it as long as the world stands. Notice. Therefore, if food shall make my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now, here are weak Christians. And this old world is full of them. Weak Christians are those who have not learned the Word of God and have not grown up and do not understand biblical principles. So what do? If he's weak, you just what? Kick him around. You wound his conscience. You hurt him in all kind of ways. You don't do babies that way, do you? Well, some of us do. Why? Because we're still babies. What does a baby do? A baby will reach over there and claw another baby in the face. Just claw him all up. When they get teeth, what do they start doing? Biting one another. I'm talking about hard. I've seen them just take plugs out of each other. They will forget. One day my niece was bothering my little girl, my big girl. She had reached over and took a plug out of her arm. Well, that's babies. We've got a lot of Christians that do the same thing. They just bite on each other. They just claw each other in the face. Pinch each other and kick each other and do all kind of things to them. What should we be doing? Our motive should be not to offend but to bless. We should not be worried so much about ourselves as we should trying to help a weaker Christian. Now, we may not be much stronger than they are. We may not be much older than they are. But this is part of learning to grow up, is not to scratch and to bite and to pinch and to kick and to claw and all these kind of things. Now, if you're a baby Christian, you've been doing that, stop. Don't show people your age. At least fool them for a while. You know, they'll find out sooner or later. But at least don't let them know it so quick. Now, Paul goes on. And you see, he's talking about the law of love here, that we're going to exercise love toward a brother. We can do these things, but we don't want to cause that weak Christian to stumble. We want him to grow up. We want him to become mature. And we'll do anything we can to help that weak Christian grow up, regardless of where they happen to be. Now, we also have the law of supreme sacrifice, and this is toward God. And if you'll notice, this is what Paul is talking about here in the first 15 verses of this ninth chapter. He says, am I not an apostle? And the answer here anticipates yes. Yes, I'm an apostle. Now, there were those in Corinth who had come in after Paul left, and they wanted to lead that Corinthian church astray. And this is one of the problems with Corinth. They were listening to some of these people who were not true to the Word of God. They did not know what the Word of God actually, or actually what God wanted people to do. And they were leading folks astray. They had come in and these people had listened to Paul. And Paul was an apostle. And God had talked to Paul and told Paul a lot of different things that he wanted people to do and to know and to understand. And he had gone there and taught those people. And they had listened and they had learned well. Because these were smart people. They weren't dumb. And yet somebody comes in and they take these baby Christians. Now they hadn't really grown up. They hadn't really become mature yet. And so they just start pushing them around and doing all kind of things to them. And they said, well, now, Paul didn't say that. Well, who is Paul anyway? Why, when Paul was here, why, he didn't even take a salary, so he must have been, he knew he wasn't worth much, so he didn't take anything from him. Why, Paul's not an apostle. Who is Paul? So they tried to cut him down and they tried to discredit Paul. And if they could discredit Paul, then it would discredit his message. Now, Paul preached the gospel of grace, didn't he? Paul preached that salvation is by grace through faith, plus or minus, not anything. That only way a man can get to heaven is by believing that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. And when you trust Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't go to hell, but you go to heaven. They accused Paul of preaching easy believism. You know, there have been people who have accused us of preaching the same thing. Because the question I always ask is, how do you believe hard? If that's easy believism, what do you do? Or do you have to get out on your knees and just cry and beg and scream to God and ask Him to save you? What do you have to do? Faith in Jesus Christ over and over again, 118 times. The Bible says, when you believe that on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't go to hell, but you go to heaven. When you trust Him as your Savior. He is a Savior. He will and does save any who trust Him. Now, if you try to do something else to get to heaven, you won't make it. Because He says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anybody should boast. And Paul had to write these things. Why? Because there were those who would come along and say, why, that's too easy. You can't get to heaven just by believing. So Paul over and over again says, yes, you can. Well, if they could discredit Paul's apostleship, then they could have discredited his message. And this is what they were trying to do. So Paul has to defend his apostleship. He says, am I not apostle? Yes, I am. Am I not free? Yes, I'm free too. I have liberty. I am under the law of liberty also. Am I not free? Yes, sir. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Yes, I have. You see, to be an apostle, you had to have seen the resurrected Christ. Had Paul seen Him? Yes, he had. He sure had. So he qualified. Are not ye my work in the Lord? Yes, you are. Did I not come there and tell you how to be saved? And were you not saved? And boy, they sure were. They had a whole big group there. There's a lot of them there in Corinth who had trusted Christ. And then he goes on in verse 2. He says, if, and this is a first class of assumption, if you want to put that down, you Greek students. If, and we'll assume for the moment, if I be not an apostle. Let's assume that I am not an apostle. Unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Now, I may not be an apostle, I may not have the authority over others, but I do have authority over you because you came to know Jesus Christ through my ministry, Paul says. So I might not be to anybody else, but there's one thing for sure. I am over you. I am an apostle to you, if no one else. So, because he's writing to them, and he wants to straighten them out. He says, mine answer to them that do examine me, do criticize me is this. Don't I have, or have we not a right to eat and to drink? Paul said, now, am I not supposed to eat? Is it? Does Paul have the right to eat food? Sure. Maybe bird seed, maybe just lettuce, celery, and that kind of thing. But he has the right to eat, because if he doesn't eat, what's going to happen to him? He's going to die. Does he not have the right to drink? Sure does. Yes, sir. Have we not the right to lead about a sister, a wife? Now notice he says a sister. What does that mean? It just means a saved lady. You don't have the right to marry an unsaved person if you're saved. You see, the Word of God brings this out quite often. He says you're not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. He's already said that in chapter 7, look at verse 39 for you who seems like we're getting a rash of folks wanting to get married these days. I don't know what it's because we preached on 1 Corinthians 7. Well, the sap's rising. Yes, what it is. But anyway, I want you to know if you get in the bug, be sure you only marry a saved person if you're saved. Now, if you're unsaved, you can marry only an unsaved person. Notice, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to marry, to be married to whom she will. Only. And circle that little word only there. She can marry anybody she wants to only in the Lord. In other words, she can only marry another Christian. Another person who is saved. Another person who is born again. Another person who is in Jesus Christ. And Paul says here, do I not have the right to lead about a sister? Another saved, a saved Christian? A wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of our Lord. Now, who is the brethren of our Lord? James, Jude. These were the Lord's half-brothers. Were they married? Sure were. And Cephas. Now, who is Cephas? Right, old Peter. Now, some folks think Peter wasn't married, but like here, Paul says he was married. You know, I believe I'll take Paul's idea over anybody else's. Now, you may go to a church where they don't let their preachers marry. Well, Peter was married. Now, that ought to bother some folks. Bothers me. Do I not have a right to be married? Sure do. Does Paul have a right to be married? Sure does. But notice what Paul says. He says, or I only and Barnabas, have we no right to forbear or to not work? Paul says, here's Barnabas and I. We came there in Corinth. Do we have not the right to not work? Sure does. Why? Paul was a preacher. And a preacher is supposed to be paid by those he ministers to. In the Old Testament, the priests, the Levites, they didn't work per se. They didn't go out and farm to make a living. They didn't have cattle and a herd to make a living. What had happened? God says, all right, all you other 12 tribes, you're going to support the Levites. You're going to take care of them. You're going to have to give them a living. Now, they're going to minister to you, but then you minister to them. They minister to you spiritual things. You give to them physical things. And Paul says, don't we have that right? He did. But you know, Paul didn't exercise that right. Do you know why he didn't? Because he didn't want the issue to be money. You know, a lot of people think you got to pay to get to heaven. If you don't put money in the collection plate, you'll go to hell. No way. You can put every bit of the money you have in the collection plate and still die and go to hell. Did you know you cannot put one penny in there and go to heaven? In fact, now listen carefully. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you put money in the collection plate, it's not going to help you one bit to get to heaven. Not even the slightest little bit. In fact, if you put money there and you thought it would help you, we'll give you a refund after the church service this morning. In fact, if you're unsaved and you put it in there, we'll give you a refund, because it's not going to help you one bit. There's only one way to get to heaven, and it's got to be paid for in full. But the only payment for sin is Christ dying on the cross. Jesus Christ shed His blood and paid for all of your sins with His own precious blood, and money can't buy it. It can't help one bit. Not even the slightest. If you put $1 million in there, it would not buy you, it would not pay for one sin that you've done. $1 million would not pay for one sin. There's only one payment for sin. Only one. And that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As a lamb without spot, without blemish. He paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left that crimson stain, but He did what? He washed it white as snow. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all your sin. And friends, only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from sin. He and He alone can do it. And He can. Paul says, though, we didn't take a salary from Him. Why? Because we didn't want money to be the issue. We wanted Jesus Christ to be the issue. So what did He do? You see, He was a missionary. He was going to unsaved people. And He would not take money from unsaved people. So He went out and He made tents. He was in the tent manufacturing business. He knew how to do that. So He and Barnabas, in the daytime, they'd make tents and preach all night. Well, now, if you're making tents all day and preaching all night, that doesn't give much time for a wife, does it? And as some of you young men are going to find out, it takes a lot of time to maintain a home and a wife. It takes a lot of time. You just can't do it on 5 minutes a day. Now, you can court them some days 5 minutes. If you can get off the phone that quick. It takes a lot of time. That's the reason why Paul did not have a wife, is because of the time factor. He was so busy doing what the Lord wanted him to do that he didn't take the time. He gives some illustrations in verse 7. He says, "Who goeth to war at his own expense? Has a man? He's a soldier. Is he going to go out and fight for his country and then supply his own maintenance? Is he going to buy his own food and his own clothes? Who does that for him? The government. Those people who aren't fighting, they pay the soldiers' salaries. Do our soldiers, they pay their own salaries? I never have seen one that did. Who does it? I do. You do. You may not know it, but you are paying the soldiers' salaries. We ought to. Why? They're fighting for us. Then he says, who planted the vineyard and doesn't eat the fruit of it? You go out here and you plant grapes. You out there working all day long. You work all year long, and maybe it takes a while for them to start producing. And then you go out there and you start gathering the grapes in, and you make the juice. You sell it, or you take the grapes and you sell them. Who gets the money? Do you just give all your grapes away? You've been working all year in that vineyard? Or if you've got a flock. You've got sheep, and you out there and milk them. Do you just pour the milk out, or you go downtown and sell it and get the money for it? Who gets the money? Well, of course, the person who's doing the work. He says in verse 8, so I say these things say I these things as a man, or saith the law also the same also? Or am I just talking? No, the law. Moses told us about this. He gave the illustration there of an oxen. He says, here's an ox, and he goes out and treads out the corn, out the grain. In other words, he's working all day, and when he's working, can he be eaten? He can't be out shifting for himself and finding food for himself while he's working. So what do? You got to feed him. If you're going to work him, you're going to feed him. That's what he says. Or say he it all together for our sakes. For our sakes, no doubt, that is written, that he that plough shall plough in hope, and he that thresheth in hope shall be partakers of his hope. For if I have sown unto you spiritual things, and I have been teaching you the word of God, I have been giving you spiritual things, is it a great thing if I should not reap carnal things of you? Of course not. I give you spiritual things, you take care of me physically. You know, if you go down here to, say, the Western Sizzler, and you go in and you eat your food, you enjoy it, it was good. Then you don't go over to the Bonanza and pay them for the food you ate over in the Western Sizzler, do you? Do you do that? Does anybody do that? No. Where you get fed, that's where you pay. Well, this is all Paul is saying. You know, when somebody gives us spiritual food, then what? We have it. And that's the reason why it's my job to study the Word of God. It's my job to minister to you in the spiritual things. And where you're blessed, then that's where you ought to get them. That's all Paul is saying. He says, I have a right to do that. Now, Paul didn't take that right. Personally, I do. And the reason why I do and Paul didn't, if I was a missionary, I wouldn't. Why? Because we want to make the issue Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we ought to support missionaries. Why? They're going out to unsaved people. And you can't take money from unsaved people. They're going out to people who've not heard the Word of God. And so we ought to be supporting them, just like Paul was supported. Now, later on, after Paul established some churches at different places, then they began to send him money, and he got to where he didn't have to work any longer. And that's what we ought to be doing. We send out young men, people to preach and teach the Word of God. If they don't have Christians that they are witnessing to and they are teaching, then we ought to be supporting them. Of course, that takes a lot of money, doesn't it? We've got to support home. Now, I can go to work. If it was necessary, I would. But then, the more time I work, the less time I have to counsel with people, to witness to people, to study the Word of God. And so Paul says, I didn't take anything from you. The only reason I didn't is because that I wanted to make one issue, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, I've exercised the law of supreme sacrifice, he's going to say. Why? Not by having a wife. I just didn't have time to lead one around. I love to have a wife also. Nothing wrong with having a wife. Do you know any unsaved person who say it's wrong for a preacher to have a wife? I didn't get married till I was about 32 years old. Some people, they didn't want me as a pastor. You know what? I didn't have a wife. They just wouldn't have a preacher that didn't have a wife. I think something's wrong with it. That's what they're saying about Paul. Paul, something wrong with you. You don't have a wife. One thing wrong, Paul. He just had one thing in his mind, and that's leading lost people to Christ. That's going in and establishing churches and teaching the Word of God. And sometimes that took all night. If he had a wife, boy, he could drag her really through it. Had children, man, that'd even be worse. Those little children, they have a hard time at night if they don't get to bed. They just like hornets in the daytime if they don't get their sleep. Now, you don't understand this yet, but you'll have some one of these days and you'll know. Paul says, that's the reason I didn't do it. I was exercising supreme sacrifice. You know, there are certain things that you have a right to do. But if you're really and truly going to get with the program of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to forbear those things. Unsaved people won't mind you doing it. Saved people, perfectly all right to do it. But because of your love for Jesus Christ and your dedication to Him, you don't do it. Why? Because you have a motive of one thing, and that is honor and glorify and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're baby Christians, we want our liberty. That's all we're interested in. We won't exercise the law of love toward our weaker Christians. Why? Well, we haven't grown up ourselves sometimes, and we just don't really love the Lord like we ought to. And so we're not as interested in helping that weak Christian because of who they are. There's a law of supreme sacrifice. Paul says, I really want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be used to the fullest. I want to be used to the nth degree. So therefore, I don't do legitimate things because of my love for Him. Let's pray. With your head bowed and eyes closed, I wonder this morning, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You can, right where you're sitting. He purchased and paid for all of your sin with His own precious blood. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not giving money. Not being baptized. Not walking an aisle and joining a church. The wages of sin is death. Death means separation from God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. He was separated from God. Do you remember He screamed, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was separated from Him. Why? He was paying for your sin. He paid for it in full. 100%. Now you've got to trust Him to save you. You've got to trust Jesus Christ to save you. And He'll do it if you'll trust Him right now. Trust just means completely rely upon Him. Depend completely upon Him to pay for your sin, to give you eternal life. And He'll do it right in your seat, right where you're sitting, right this minute. Maybe you have trusted Him as your Savior. Which of these laws have you been exercising? Well, I just want to do my thing. God, I thank you for saving me, but, you know, Christian life seems so hard. You're just interested in your own thing, your own self. You never think about the weaker Christian. Your motives are not to be a testimony to the unsaved. We're going to talk about them a little later on. You would never dare exercise the law of supreme sacrifice because you would have to deny yourself of certain things. You'd have to cut certain things out of your life that you're just not willing to give up. You like those things more than you really want to serve God. You can do that. But you can't do it and be extremely happy. And that may be the problem with you this morning, is that you're not real happy because you haven't exercised these three laws. You've only exercised the first. You have the privilege to do that. But you won't have the privilege of being extremely happy. And you know, that's what we want for you. We want you to be so happy you can hardly stand it. And that's what God wants for you too. He wants you to be so happy that, you know, you just, life is great and wonderful. Father, we do thank you this morning for Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. We thank you we can know Him as our Savior.